Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Tuesday class, 22nd of September 2020. So as usual, we will continue with our Heart Sutta, second edition. We are at page 212. We're supposed to continue from 1.6, mind and chanting as one. But just for some recap, I may go back a little bit to 1.4 and 1.5 so that we can have a continuity. As usual, before we officially start, we will have our half an hour of formal awareness-based meditation. We will off the light, then you can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. By now, I think most of us are already very familiar with this awareness-based meditation. Basically, it's to develop sati or awareness, mindfulness, then to stabilize it so that it's ever mindful to meditate, to develop the meditative mind. The mind that is silent, aware, without thought, is the meditative mind. So the four support that can lead us to develop the meditation are just relax. Relax into every mind state that arises. Relax can be very deep in its meaning. So when you just relax, means body and mind completely at ease. Relax. No need to do anything. Just allow yourself to be whatever arises. Let it be. Just be the witness. The awareness is the witnessing nature within. Just aware. After you relax, you maintain awareness. That's what you're supposed to do. And third support is this awareness supposed to stabilize. Means you must develop the ability to be aware for as long as you can. Technically or theoretically, it should be 24 hours. That's why the third support is continuous awareness, 24-hour awareness if possible. Then the final one is trust. Trust your nature to meditate. No more thought. No more interference of thought. That one you do later when you have the ability to locate the gateway to your nature. And then you do the fourth support. Otherwise, the first two plus the third one is more than enough. For the sainthood way, you only need to do the first three. The fourth support trust is mainly for Bodhisattva way cultivation. Those who want to go the Bodhisattva way, then you have to develop the fourth support. Otherwise, you just develop the first three. Relax, maintain awareness, then stay silent for as long as you can. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Because the knowing, the doing is always by the thought. When your thought is active, you can never be mindful. You can never be with your true mind. Your mind can never be in the meditative state to develop the meditation. If you are not silent, aware, you cannot be with the moment to understand what is going on. If thought arise, you will be preoccupied with your thinking, your emotion. So thinking is the mundane mind active. When mundane mind is active, you cannot be aware, you cannot be in the meditative state, you cannot understand. So the real meditation is just relax, maintain awareness and complete silence. The nature that is completely silent without thought, just aware, can meditate, can insight into phenomena, can be the silent mind observing. When you observe, you understand. You will come to know many, many things. That's what meditation is all about. How we function as a human being. How we come to know things, interact with things. All this understanding can be developed if we can just be silent, mindful, and just aware. You can be aware of whatever that arises. Yeah, your mundane mind stirring and reaction. The mundane mind is active because there is ignorance, there is delusion. Without ignorance and delusion, this mundane mind will not stir, will not react. It will not become emotional. It will not be heedless. It will not arise the mental hindrance, the evils. So all this, you can develop the understanding. We shall continue from where we started. We will go to page 212, 1.6, mind and chanting as one. But before that, as I have said, we will go back two more, starting from 1.4, leading to enlightenment. Sati will allow them to also understand how the mind stirs. We are the delusion to react to sense experience, to arise the craving or the evils within their mind states to condition their own suffering. So if you are a cultivator, you will have this ability. When you are mindful, aware, you are silent. That's why the awareness can let you understand many things. Then you will know how your mind stirs, how you react to sense experience, how you become emotional, how you become unhappy. And what are the things that cause that movement? All this you will understand. And this is what meditation is about. Meditation is about observation, where you can observe mindfully without thought, when you are just aware, then you can develop the understanding. Awareness itself is very important. Without awareness, you cannot understand. That's why the observation with the silent mind is really meditation. If you don't have the meditative mind, which is the silent mind, in pure awareness, to insight into phenomena, to be aware, to observe, to develop the understanding, you can never, never awaken. So whoever who has the spiritual faculties, Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, they will be in the meditative state straight away. Because these are mind states that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching. And when the spiritual faculties are there, the mental hindrances to be. That's the reason why spiritual faculties are very important. So do not be confused by what people say or the Mahayana. You look at them, you may think they just chant and they don't meditate. No. Whatever you do that can bring forth the cultivation of the spiritual faculty leading to the meditative state to be aware, to be mindful, is the real meditation. So without sati, without the spiritual faculty of sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, you can never awaken. The mental hindrance, the opposite five, will take over. So this understanding will enable you to understand all teaching, whether it's Theravada, Mahayana, or Vajrayana. If they have cultivated it correctly, they will finally develop the meditative mind, which is just aware, relaxed, and mindful within. The meditative mind is the silent mind without thought. That is your true mind. The awareness nature that is just aware. And this is the mind that can understand all movement, all action, all of mental proliferation, mental stirring, reaction, emotion, how they arise, why they arise. So all this understanding will unfold. That's why the title is Leading to Enlightenment. So when they develop the five spiritual faculties, it will lead them to have this ability to have sati that is very stable. So sati that is very stable will allow them to also understand how their mind stir and react to sense experience. They have their own self-delusion and wrong view. To arise the craving, which has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, the condition, the suffering. So they will see it, then they will understand. That's how they develop the wrong thought that condition their negativity of mind state. Then they will be able to trace the origination factor. Then when they trace the origination factor, they can retrospectively reverse it. There is a fourth way to overcome unwholesome thought than the Buddha thought, which is also meditation. This is how Pure Land chanting can also lead to the enlightenment in the here and now. Note, sati is awareness or mindfulness before the knowing. The word, the key word is before the knowing. And samadhi is the stability of it, the collected and unwavering silent mind. Then we move on to 1.5. Cultivation of the five spiritual faculties facilitate meditation. This is very true. Without the spiritual faculty, you cannot understand spiritual teaching. The mental hindrance will be there, the opposite mind. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Then you cannot meditate. You cannot be aware. You cannot understand. Sadda or faith will make your mind calm, peaceful, confident, composed, and very calm. Hence, when you have sadda, there will be no more restlessness or doubt. And when there is virya, you will not be sleepy anymore. Because this virya is a type of spiritual zeal or tenacity that drives you to diligently cultivate, where you see the importance of this teaching. Then when you have sati, you are no longer heedless. You don't think anymore. There is no more thought, no more like, no more dislike, no more sensual desire. You are just mindful and aware. Always aware. And your mind state is always with the moment. Your mind is always with the moment in sati. And when you stabilize that, samadhi will arise. With samadhi established, the mind will be collected and unwavering. Hence, it can see things as they are. to understand the truth and the reality leading to the enlightenment or the wisdom. Once the five spiritual faculties are in place, your mental hindrance will cease to be or be gone. Then you will automatically know how to meditate, because the meditative spiritual faculties are the quality of a meditative mind. When you have spiritual faculty, you are automatically in the meditative state. Now all these five spiritual faculties, they are conducive for the arising of the meditative mind. Without the five spiritual faculty, the opposite five hindrances will take over. That's why with them develops in a very stable manner, the mental hindrance will cease to be. When you have no more mental hindrance, your mind will be peaceful, calm, and just aware within. It will enter the meditative state. Okay, then now we'll continue. 1.6. Mind and chanting as one. This one is very beautiful, very important. That's why when they chant and chant until the four hao, or the Buddha's name, and the awareness become one, both become one. That is mind and the chanting as one. Like there is no one to chant, just an awareness of the chanting, of the vibration. Then their chanting will stabilize. Then their sati will stabilize. At that time, they will be very different, because the five spiritual faculties that are so stable will transform them. Then throughout the day, even when they are not chanting the Buddha's name, they will also have the type of heedful mind. When your mind has entered sati, that can happen. So when they chant until their awareness is so stable, then this mind finally enters sati. Then everything they do is in sati. It's just like anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. When you develop anapanasati in a very relaxed manner and maintain awareness, this anapanasati will stabilize. Then you will experience a lot of what they call the byproduct of anapanasati. The first byproduct is piti. You will experience piti, a spiritual calmness. But when you are just aware without thought, there's a spiritual joy, spiritual calmness that will arise. Then that peacefulness of mind will make you like to meditate, because the mental hindrance is gone, the agitation all is gone. You are in just sati. Then when you continue to relax into it and maintain mindfulness, then it becomes more and more refined. Then this piti will transform and become a type of more refined peace within. They call it sukhang, sukhang, or blissfulness of mind. Your mind is like very blissful. You experience bliss, truly blissful. Then you continue to relax into it and maintain awareness. Then that mind transform again. Even the piti and the sukhang is gone. The mind become very quiet. So initially it's like long breath, very calm, very peaceful, fully aware. And within every breath, in and out breath, there is clarity. It's like a lot of things happen. There is a lot of activity or movement. The mindfulness and the awareness can pick it up and there is clarity. Then, as it transforms, this mind becomes more and more refined, more and more quiet, then it will slow down. The anapanasati will slow down over time. Until finally, when you become so skillful, the awareness is always with you. Then you don't need the breath to be aware. The breath like stop, become very subtle, very still, like no more movement. When that happens, do not panic. Do not try and do other things. Forget about it. It is a sign of progress. When that happens, you just continue to relax and silent and maintain awareness. Stay with the silent. Without thought, never mind. Stay with the silent at the nostril area. If you continue to persevere, relax and maintain awareness there, means without the object of meditation, the in and out breath, you can maintain awareness there at that location where there is no movement at all. That is how you actually develop the higher awareness. Your awareness will develop and become more and more refined. Then when you are able to be aware without any object of meditation, means the mind has enter sati, and that is very important. When mind enters sati, means everything you do is in sati. The awareness like magnified. Then after a while, you will be very surprised that very subtle movement or activity where normal mind, which is not so developed or refined, the mindfulness that is not developed and more refined, cannot detect them. But when your mind enters sati, you can detect them. The subtle breathing come back to you. To ordinary people, it's like no more breathing. But the very subtle movement, very, very subtle movement of this slight movement of breathing, but very subtle, like you hardly breathe, is actually become different. Internal breathing, no more external breathing. But that movement is very subtle, like you can hold your breath at that point with awareness without doing anything. That awareness is there. Then all of the subtle movement, your mindfulness that is more refined can follow it. Then you realize you can still develop mindfulness in a way. Then when that thing happens, you will start to understand whatever movement or activity that happened to your kaya, your mind that is in sati can be aware, and that movement is like magnified into very big movement. Normal people actually don't feel anything, but to you, because of the mindfulness and the awareness, it's like magnified into very big movement. Then later on, you realize wherever you locate the mind, you can pick up that vibration, even your heartbeat, or whatever vibration within your brain or anywhere. Wherever you locate this mind is already in sati. Then as you come out of it, you realize all of your action and movement, you are so mindful. The awareness and the bodily activity and movement become one. Then all of your seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process, they are in sati. That's how the mindfulness can stabilize. Until you are mindful in the midst of life, without an object of meditation, you don't need anything to hold the mind. That is the real sati. The real sati, which is completely aware without thought and silent. And that can only happen to a person who has trained until their mindfulness has become so refined, until the mind enters sati. When mind enters sati, it becomes very different. Your mind is a free mind that doesn't stir, doesn't react, doesn't move, no activity at all throughout the day. It can be in that state. That's the stability of mindfulness that you need. And the Buddha called that heedfulness, ever mindful, constantly meditating. So when you can be in that state of ever mindful stability of mindfulness, daily mindfulness throughout the day, every moment, every instant, that with that free mind, your understanding will unfold. You will understand things very fast. You will be able to insight into phenomena, see Dhamma, realize the three universal characteristics. Your observation power will become very powerful. That is the power of mindfulness. You become very different. So sati is wisdom energy. Sati is life. Without sati, there is no wisdom energy to awaken. Without sati, there is no life, no understanding. Without sati, you are like blind, heedless. You cannot see. That's why sati is most important. And the stability of it is even more important. So this part, hopefully, after today's explanation and emphasis, you all can develop the understanding of it, then go to the notes. Then you all can actually cultivate it. Then when you develop the cultivation, you will understand what I mean. So now I will read on, then you will develop the understanding. That's why when they chant and chant until that four how or the Buddha's name and awareness become one, that is mind and chanting as one. Like there is no one chanting, just an awareness of the chanting, of the vibration, when they are sati. Oh, sorry. Just an awareness of the chanting, of the. Just an awareness of the chanting, comma, of the vibration, then their sati will stabilize. So this one is like anapanasati, where your sati stabilizes and becomes so refined until mind enters sati, then this thing is possible. At that time, they will be very different because the spiritual faculties are there, so stable, will transform them. Then throughout the day, even when they are not chanting the Buddha's name or the four how, they will also have that type of mind. We call it the heedful mind, like the anapanasati case, because mind has entered sati. That's why it can be in that state. It will like chant with awareness by itself. Sometimes you don't chant also, it will be there. And this one I have to describe a bit. I think I describe it in the next paragraph, 1.7. You see, when you chant and chant and chant until the spiritual faculty is very strong, then they stabilize and become power, ballast. Then when they stabilize and become power, ballast, very funny thing happens. Because of your affinity with the great being. Because when you chant that great being's name or for how with faith, it connects you to their vow. then this affinity become very powerful. It can trigger off things to happen. Then I remember in the early years, when I was listening to this chanting tape, I think Guang Qing Lao He Sang, I remember. In the background, there is this chanting, Amitofo, Amitofo, Amitofo. It keep on running. Then there is this, what they call the Kai Si Lu of Guang Qing Lao He Sang's teaching. Then through that listening attentively over a period of time, I think could be over a month or two, yeah, I let it play as a cassette in the car every time I drive around. So what happened is, there was one day, all of a sudden, something happened. I was driving. I was not playing the tape. They're very funny. All of a sudden, that chanting, the Amitabha chanting, appeared in my brain. Then I realized my awareness was with it all the time. Then I decided to stop my car. Then after that, I start to understand what that chanting is and how come it is so powerful, which means my nature has chanted before in the past, developed it before. That's why this time my nature comes, it can reveal to me, show it to me, and let me understand. So I will read on 1.7, then I think it's described there. We will go back to the notes. There was this very soothing and continuous chanting of Amitabha or Amitabha. Amitofo, 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 in its background. So as I listened to that chanting, which was repeated many times in the background, I was also able to follow the chanting and chant it so naturally and so mindfully. I can chant it until it becomes like very clear to me. Then one day while I was driving, this is the part, all of a sudden the chanting just arise inside my brain. And there was such clarity that I stopped my car somewhere and silenced my mind to listen to it. It was like the mind and the chanting was in complete harmony and synchrony as one. I remember initially I was chanting, then all of a sudden, it was no one is chanting. Then everything stopped. Then somewhere underneath my brain, from behind, at the back, the chanting automatically come out again. And the mindfulness on it was so stable and so clear. And it just stayed there, fully aware of everything. That's how I came to know this type of Pure Land chanting can also develop the spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Siddhi, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to the wisdom. And how the mind can become one with it. And there was a realization that there was no one chanting. And the nature within is just aware, fully aware. The chanting just repeat itself, and there was just an awareness of it. So the real chanting is very different, because there is no one to chant. It's just the mind that is aware of phenomena, whether it is a physical, mental, or nature's phenomena. In this case, It is a mental phenomenon. So this is the power of Mahayana chanting. You have to connect to the great being. And most people chant either Kuan Yin or Amitabha Buddha. But there are other cultivators who has affinity with other great beings. They can also chant all the other four halves of other beings. It's up to your affinity. Everyone is different. Then we move on, 1.8. Cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness. Now this part is very important. All these are possible when you have properly developed all these spiritual faculties until they become very stable. So the key word is the stability of it until all these spiritual faculties become balanced powers. Then even in the midst of your daily life, your mind will be very different because of the stability of your sati and samadhi. You will be able to see your mental intention very clearly, even the very subtle one. Your aggregates of mind, like your feeling, your perception, your activity of mind, your emotion, your mental state, etc., including the content of consciousness. You can also be at the moment of consciousness. Then you will also see your mental and physical flow. And after that, you will be able to use it to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, and your wisdom will keep on arising. So, ability to see your mental and physical flow can only arise when your mind has entered sati, when your stability of mindfulness is so stable. It's really amazing, I still remember. It's like throughout the day, you are ever mindful, continuously aware, without thought, hardly any thought. Then that mind is so different. The meditative mind that has transformed is really, really different, amazing, and beautiful. So all these are possible. That's why you must have faith. Then I will read on. Then you will also see your mental and physical flow, and after that, you will be able to use it to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness, and your wisdom will keep on arising. Yes, then you will start to understand life itself is the teaching. Life itself is the Dhamma. Dhamma is everywhere. Why can't you see? But they also see, they always see. So the four foundation of mindfulness cultivation will bring forth the enlightenment. Whereas the cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness will accumulate into the cultivation of the noble, the four noble truth, which include the noble eightfold path. Then the fourth noble truth, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, is the Noble Eightfold Path, because it leads to the end of all suffering, which is the enlightenment in the here and the now. So finally, whatever meditation you do, if it does not lead you back to the four foundations of mindfulness, the four noble truth, and the Noble Eightfold Path, then it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Always remember that. The meditation as taught by the Buddha always brings you back to the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. Then regarding the four foundation of mindfulness, it is the recommendation of the Buddha to anchor your mind to these four foundations when you are cultivating. When you are in the midst of life cultivating the Buddha Dhamma, these four, the Buddha has isolated them as the four foundation of mindfulness. The first foundation of mindfulness is kaya, kaya nupassana, mindfulness of time, bodily activity and movement. Your breath is part of your kaya. Your abdominal rise and fall is part of your kaya. Your breath or your breathing is part of your kaya. Your heartbeat, your vibration, your physical movement within your bodily action and daily activity is all part of kaya. That's why in the Four Foundation of Mindfulness Sutta, kaya, under the first foundation, kaya nupassana, is described in great detail, kaya nupassana. The six category of cultivation all refer to the kaya, starting with anapanasati, to develop the sati, then stabilize the sati. We are cultivating mindfulness of the four posture, standing aware, walking aware, sitting aware, lying down aware. Then the third category of cultivation is daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, means mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment, which is to enable you to be mindful of all of the activity that connects the four postures. Yeah. So that third category of cultivation, sati sampajana, is very important. You not only have to develop mindfulness, but at the same time, clear comprehension. Clear comprehension of four aspects. First one is clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose. You have to be very sincere so that you do not deviate. When you have clear comprehension, it protects you from deviation. You develop all this meditation not to develop psychic, not to develop the egoic mind to show off, to be proud, to have this like special ability, or they call psychic power, to show people, to read mind, to levitate, to create magical things. All this is a deviation. So clear comprehension of sincerity of practice is very important, or cultivation. When you are sincere, you will not debate, because the purpose of meditation is very simple, the Buddha said, is to develop the wisdom, the awakening, to train the mind to be aware, silent, to have that meditative ability to observe, to awaken. And when you have the wisdom, awakening, you can be free from suffering. That is the sole purpose and intent, not the other thing, which are delusion. Then second is clear comprehension of domain of meditation. Meditation can be done anywhere, any place, anytime. The domain of meditation is life itself. As long as you are aware, you are in a meditative state. So throughout the day, you can meditate. Everything you do is meditation. That's why sati sampajana is meditation, daily mindfulness and clear comprehension. So when you understand the domain of meditation, you will not procrastinate. You will not delay your meditation. You will not give excuse. You will not say, now I still need to work. I still have duties, responsibility, I still have to make more money to plan for my children's education, to provide for my family, to have enough saving for my own retirement so that I don't need to work. So all this are for those who don't understand the domain of meditation. When you understand the domain of meditation, while working, you can meditate. While sleeping, you can also meditate. While going about doing your household duty and chores, you can also meditate. So everything in life can be in a meditative state. You can train yourself to be mindful, to be aware. Then that itself is meditation. That's why this four foundation of mindfulness is very powerful. Kaya Nupassana itself, mindfulness of Kaya is already so powerful. Then the third clear comprehension is clear comprehension of suitability. Suitability means how to develop understanding. What is the most important time here and now? What is the most important place here and now? This place. Who are the most important people that you can learn from and benefit from? People who are around you. Phenomena and things that are happening around you. So clear comprehension of suitability will keep your mind focused so that you will not dream, so that you will not think and project your thought. Sometimes in a retreat, a lot of people get lost in thought. They don't have clear comprehension of suitability. They always want to compare. Why come to this retreat? I should have gone to that this retreat. Oh, it seems that one better. That one can give me what I want and what, and the monk and the teacher better and all those things. Then sometimes they even complain, here the setting is not so conducive. This is not the place for meditation. Then they complain. Then I cannot be with the people whom I like. If I go back to my hometown or go back to my dwelling, there the temple is very near. I can visit them. Then I can visit my Dhamma friends and all those things. What are you doing? You are being heedlessly lost in thought thinking. You are not focused. Where you don't have clear comprehension or suitability. You have already made the decision to go for the retreat. So that is the decision you make. So when you are there, the most important time is there and then, that moment. Make full use of it. The most important place is also there and then. Be aware, be mindful, develop your Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. Sati is very important. When you can develop Sati, you can meditate. When you can stabilize your mind to have a very stable Sati, your meditation will progress. You will take off. Then the most important people are the people around you, the phenomena around you, the condition that arise within that locality. So when you can make full use of all those, then you will benefit, you will progress. So clear comprehension of suitability is to enable you to focus, not lost in thought, not dwell in heedless thinking. So always remember, the most important time is here and now, cultivate. The most important place is this. Learn, benefit, and be a blessing to all. Then the most important people are the people whom you are with. Learn from them. If you have the ability, share with them. These are the people that you can benefit and develop the understanding with. So Dhamma cultivation is not about where, it's about understanding the clear comprehension of suitability. The most suitable time is now. The most suitable place is here. the more suitable people are the people around you. When you are here, you think of people back home. It doesn't help much, is it? You are creating heedless thinking. Unless you reflect and contemplate the developed Dhamma understanding, then it's different. Otherwise, you are not being mindful. You are being heedless, projecting your thought, creating heedless thinking. Then finally is you develop the clear comprehension of non-delusion. Non-delusion is very important. Non-delusion involves the 10 defilements of insight. When you have progressed along the path of Dhamma cultivation, you will encounter a lot of very beautiful mind states. And all this can be any of the 10 defilements of insight. When they arise, be mindful, have clear comprehension, not to be deceived, not to be deluded. So when you understand that they are defilements of insight, that they show progress, you will not be trapped. So you will not be complacent. Clear comprehension and non-delusion will prevent you from having complacency and cultivating in a very lax manner and go the wrong way. Because when you encounter defilement of insight, you may misbelieve that you already enlightened. You think these are such beautiful mind states that only an arahant can have. So you thought you might as well believe that you have already transformed and become arahant. But later on, you will find out that you still have a lot of defilements within, a lot of wrong view, wrong understanding. And then you realize, wow, you are far away. But then too late, because when you have complacency, you tend to be distracted. You like suddenly have the great idea, oh, maybe now is the time for me to come out and share and teach and show off and all those things. Then it will lead to a lot of unnecessary complication and problem and misunderstanding, because if you are not ready and you do it, you will get yourself into a lot of trouble. Then all this, if you really mindful, aware, have clear comprehension, you will not fall into complacency and the trap. So this four type of clear comprehension is very important to prevent you from deviation, having complacency. So the Buddha is very thorough in the way he teaches. So sati sampajana is very important. Then after that, also he shared about the mindfulness of the four elements that are to be found within our kaya. Earth element, wind element, heat element, and water element of cohesion. You can feel them off and on. You can see them. You can experience them. Then the next category of cultivation is the 32 parts. The Buddha said, you have to reflect and contemplate that this physical body of ours is not what we think. It's not real. We are its condition arising cause of phenomena. It make up of parts, the 32 parts. When you combine them together, they perform a function. They animate into a human form. That is like real. Like you exist. Yeah. But no, it's all dependent originating condition arising. So the Burkhardt analogy is a very good analogy. It actually complements this 32 part. Then when you contemplate on the 32 part, you also learn a lot of important Dhamma. That this body of ours is not so clean. A lot of impurity. They call it very smelly skin bag. Then as it age, it also has problem. But this body goes the way of nature. It's not always beautiful, young, energetic, perfect. That's why the next category of cultivation is about the 9 stages of cementary decomposition of this physical body. This one during the Buddha's time, for people with certain lustful character, the Buddha asked them to contemplate on the 32 path and the 9 stages of cementary decomposition so that they will wake up, so that they can awaken, not to be deceived by the physical form. The last category of practice, which is the contemplation on the 9 stages of cementary decomposition of this physical body, is to develop the wisdom and the awakening to understand that this physical body of ours, when it's devoid of consciousness, when consciousness separate from it, it goes the way of nature. Then the 9 stages of cementary decomposition will arise. Then you look at that form. What is there for you to cling, attach, grasp, and fall in love with that form? Because when it starts to decay, it starts to decompose, the 4 elements break down. Then all the various stages of decomposition start. Then initially is the wind element is gone, then the heat element is gone, then the water element also slowly gone, then left with the earth element. Then when they go, it start to decompose, it start to become very filthy, very smelly. My teacher Achayandra, he did his meditation before and he shared with us. He said, after he did the meditation, only he come to know that the human body, when it decomposes, the foul smell, I tell you, is the foulest of among the all the other dead body. It's really, really filthy and foul. But it's good to contemplate and reflect. And I remember when I was at his monastery, I think on one occasion, I went there with another friend, Uncle Ku. We were very close to Achayandra and he knows us very well, because when he come to Malaysia or when we visited Thailand or those way places that he has his katina, we always very close to him, and we actually have affinity with him and we have a lot of faith in him. Our respect and all those things. And because of that, when we were there at Kanchanapuri on that occasion, he actually was very kind. He sent message to us and tell us to wait for him that night. And he finished very late after midnight as usual. Then almost 12 something to 1 a.m. Then he met up with us. And he had a lot of joy. Then he said, come, come. He took us up to his kuti on the mountain. Then he told us that night we will stay at his chief disciple's kuti, which was just below his halfway up there. Pitch up on a cliff, on a tree top. Then that night when we stayed there, we stayed there for those few nights when we were there. We didn't know that kuti was very special, and it was some real meditative experience. And we didn't know that he actually served us so well. He actually allowed us to stay there. We were very surprised. We came to know actually that kuti belonged to the chief disciple of Achayandra, and seldom he let people stay unless there is really valid special condition. Then when I was there, I saw in the drawer these 9 stages of cemetery contemplation photo, where they took the photo. Then when I looked at it, it was an experience really. not easy, but good. Yeah, I can. That time I was ready. But Uncle Ku cannot. Uncle Ku, he saw the thing, said, wow, what is all this, is it? I said, this is cemetery contemplation. They really cut up the dead corpse and all those things. And they stay with the dead corpse. And a lot of things that all these cultivators do, you may not understand. Then at night when we sleep, for those who have heard before, the Dhamma ends came. And that was a very unique experience, very beautiful. Then from that kuti, you hardly sleep throughout the night, you fully awake. Then 3:45, the chanting starts, 3:45 a.m. at night, the chanting starts. Then we arise. So monastic environment can be very beautiful. So it was really something that we learned. And I was full of joy that we have such condition. And all these are meant to be so that my nature understand. Then when I heard the chanting and I, wow, beautiful, the monks chanting, I still remember from far, the Namo Tassa, their Thai style chanting, very nice, the vibration. Then when they hit the point on the contemplation on the fire aggregate, Rupang Anichang, Rupang Anatta. Then continue with Vedana Sanya Sankara Vijnana, then Sabbe Sankara. Wow, that one really, my nature straight away came out and become full of joy, very strong. That's why in the Bodhisattva vow, I included all this. And these are the Dhamma that really inspired me and awakened me. Every of these words, Rupang Anichang, is so clear in its meaning. And Rupang Anatta is so clear in its meaning. Then the whole chanting was so beautiful, so marvelous. That's when you are able to develop the meditative mind, the stability of mindfulness. When you have the daily mindfulness, you become different. Everywhere is Dhamma, your cultivation become very different. These are really very beautiful cultivation. So now I have finished the first foundation, Kaya Nupassana. Then the next thing that you can anchor to is the second foundation, which is Vedana. Vedana is feeling, sensation. They arise all the time. That's why you can stay with your feeling with clear awareness, mindfulness. You will not be drawn. You will not stir your mind. You will not become like deluded. Then that craving will condition suffering and misery. Craving are your sensual desire and evil, your like and your dislike, your pleasant and your unpleasant sensation. So all this are duality. When you are aware, it means your mind has stirred from the pure feeling. It has stirred and become sensual desire and evil. It's the evil roots of greed and hatred. The duality has arisen. Pleasant and unpleasant sensation, like and dislike. So all this is the second foundation for you to see. Then when you move through the first foundation, you realize it is to anchor your mindfulness so that you are very stable. That's why you must start from Kaya. You cannot use Kaya to anchor your mind until your mind enters Sati. There is no way, I realize. And you can't stay at the feeling to go to the second foundation. No way. People think they can. It's actually your thought, activity, and movement. When you're really aware of feeling or emotion, which is the third foundation, the content of consciousness, like your anger, your fear. The awareness and the emotion as one, or that sensation as one, is very different. You are just aware, silent. That two become one. I always use this word, be with it. Some Dhamma friends have learned it, especially Kotlun. He liked that word. He said, be with it. So beautiful. Everything still go back to the original state of mind before it's stirring. When you just stay with that feeling and the emotion, the mind slow down. Then the flowering of that emotion or that thought is the very ending of that thought. Then you realize that mind, mundane mind, return to its original state of stillness before the stirring. That's how you realize your true mind. Then you come to know all this mind state, emotion, reaction of mind, the pleasant and unpleasant sensation of feeling, like and dislike, anger, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow. These are all conditioned arising mind state. They are dependent originating. They are not intrinsic within your nature. Before you have anger, there was none. Before you get angry, you were never angry. Then how did they arise? Dependent originating condition arising causal phenomenon. Because of wrong view, you stir, you react, you project, then fear arise. So all this you will see them in the meditation. That's why this second foundation and third foundation of mindfulness, which is Vedana Nupassana, followed by Chitta Nupassana. Chitta is content of consciousness. Chitta is actually your thought, the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. So when your pure consciousness receives its content from your memory, from your views, opinion, and conditioning, when you input them, then whether it's wholesome or unwholesome, with the evil root or without the evil root, you can see them. Then how they stir, how they react, and how it makes you emotional, fearful, how you become violent, emotional, angry, unhappy, how you develop all the sorrow element, you can see them all. How you become heedless. That is what meditation is all about. That's why from Kaya, when you are able to anchor the mind and become very stable, your mindfulness, mind and the sati, then you only have the ability to be with the moment, to be with your Vedana feeling, your emotion, your mental states, or your Chitta. So, second and third foundation of mindfulness is actually the cultivation. It is part of the whole Dhamma cultivation. It is also covered under the Satipatthana, the four foundation of mindfulness, and also Noble Eightfold Path, the four right effort and all those things. Samasati, they are all related. So when you have a very stable sati, then Vedana Nupassana and Chitta Nupassana become very easy, very simple. Then all the Satipatthana Sutta you read, you will understand what they say. That's why when there is feeling aware, when feeling has become unpleasant feeling aware, when feeling has become pleasant feeling aware, but they never teach you after that, aware then do what? But under the fourth foundation of mindfulness, Dhamma Nupassana, they explain. The first category of fourth foundation of mindfulness is mindfulness of the five aggregates of form and mind. Five mental hindrance. Yeah, I was right. Five mental hindrance, the first category. Then this mental hindrance, when you are mindful and aware, you will come to know how the unarisen when the hindrance come to be. It means they are dependent originating, condition arising. They are not intrinsic in you. Then you continue to silence your mind and maintain awareness, mindfulness. Then it ceases. Then you realize without doing anything, just silent, the mind does not stir anymore, does not react anymore. Where there is no more thought, no more wrong thought, no more wrong view. That's how it sees. Then you will come to know how the arisen mental hindrance ceases to be. Then with that wisdom, when you are able to trace its origination factor and retrospectively reverse it with understanding, like what I teach you, learn to see things as they are, as per the Buddha's teaching. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. When condition is such, things will be such, cannot be otherwise. So develop all this stability of understanding, then have the ability to accept the reality of the moment. So all this will bring forth the understanding that finally will let you know in future how this mental defilement, or what they call the mental hindrance, will not arise anymore, because you have already developed the wisdom how not in the future they cannot arise anymore. So all these are in the Satipatthana Sutta's teaching and the Dhammanupassana. Then the second category of the fourth foundation is mindfulness of the five aggregates of form and mind. So after five mental hindrance is the five aggregate. Then after that is the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases, mindfulness of it. Then when you can do that, means that is the meditative way, the fourth way to realize the wisdom and the awakening. Then when you can do that, you will move on to the fourth cultivation of the fourth foundation of mindfulness. Mindfulness of seven factors of enlightenment. After that, the seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising. Then you know you are on the right path. You have not deviated. So this is how your cultivation progresses. Then finally, when the seven factors of enlightenment are there, you will awaken. That's why the last category of cultivation is after mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment is the mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths when it's tree turning, leading to the 12 mode. So within the Four Noble Truths, the fourth Noble Truth is Noble Eightfold Path. That's why finally you will cultivate the Four Noble Truths, accumulating into the Noble Eightfold Path. Then when you have the Noble Eightfold Path cultivated, only can you become an enlightened being. Because by then you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factors. Before that, no. Like the Buddha said, not until this four Noble Truth has been understood in its three turning and its 12 mode, he do not proclaim to be the fully enlightened one, the Sammasambuddha. So, awakening to the three turning of the Four Noble Truths is very important. Okay, so now we have covered the four foundation of mindfulness. We will move on to 1.9. After that, I think we can finish. Oh, yes. 1.9. The actual cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path. This one I will read through, then you can understand. Caution. If you think chanting alone is the meditation, then you can be deceived. Chanting is just a technique or a skillful means to initially train your mind to develop the five spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya needed to overcome the five mental hindrances. After that, only the real meditation begins. That is, after your five spiritual faculty has been cultivated and your daily mindfulness stabilized, then only the real meditation, which is the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path via daily mindfulness, can begin. And within the Noble Eightfold Path, we have the Samasati Path Factor, which is the cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness, which is also the focus of our Dhamma discussion. So all this point back towards the Buddha's beautiful teaching very clearly. His teachings are all interconnected. It's a big zigzag puzzle. When you have the full picture, you understand they are all interrelated and connected. It's from the four foundations of mindfulness that you develop awakening. That's why he called it the only way. Then Noble Eightfold Path is very important. In fact, his whole teaching comes from the four noble truths. This is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. From the four noble truths, all of the other teachings, they spin off from there. So when you have that understanding, then you can link the whole teaching together. All of the essential Dhamma, everything else that he teach, actually spin off from the Four Noble Truths. And the key teaching is the Four Noble Truths, especially the Fourth Noble Truth, where the Noble Eightfold Path explains everything about life, both the mundane and the supramundane. The Four Noble Truths, they really summarize to us all of life, both the mundane and supramundane. That's like the first time I heard about this Four Noble Truths or read about it in the year 1971 or 72, I forgot already. My nature arose. It was so amazed. It straight away knew, no need to search. That's it. Nobody can do that. Who can ever summarize all of life into just four beautiful noble truths that can make you noble one, so enlightened one? All of life, mundane and super mundane, they are all there. And all these essential dhamma are spin off from this four noble truth. The four noble truth and its three turning are very beautiful. The Noble Eightfold Path is very complete. The first path factor of right view is already a very big scope of cultivation. And most of the Buddha's teaching come from these three important spiritual right views. Kamma Niyama, Citta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. Then after that, to be a noble one, you have to be very noble in all aspects of life. That's why noble one are called enlightened one. Not only you have right understanding of all the nature's law that governs life and existence through your right view, you must also conduct yourself in a very noble way. It's the way you arise your thought process, the way you communicate with people, the way you interact with people, the way you arise your speech, your action. You have to have noble qualities. That's why you develop right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood to live life so that you can have all the noble qualities of an enlightened being. Then after that, you constantly cultivate the four right effort to constantly purify. Initially, it's at your thought level, and later on, mindfulness to purify and awaken to develop the wisdom and the enlightenment. So Samasati and Samadhi are very beautiful mind state or spiritual faculty that can really transform living being. So the whole of Noble Eightfold Path is what you need to be enlightened. You must have the embodiment of this Noble Eightfold Path factor until it becomes a part of you. Then you can really become the enlightened being, the Arya that the Buddha was referring to. Unless you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. If you don't have this Noble Eightfold Path, then you are cultivating something else. is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That the meditation as taught by the Buddha is very unique, very beautiful, and very complete. Mm. So with this, I think we can end today's sharing. Huh? Okay, we stop at 1.9. The next one is 2, understanding the essence of the Buddha's teaching. This one is an expansion on what I have to share. That's why there's this appendix 3 at that time, very strange. You know? It's like towards the end, I get to summarize everything. Then all this teaching, the subheading, like I say, they just fall into place so that cultivator can understand. Mm. And later on, when we move to topic number 3, the pitfall of thought-based meditation, that one also very beautiful. Then number 4 is sati, that one also very beautiful. Then it link up with Krishnamurti code and all those things. Then later on, it covers a lot of wide range of topics. Listening attentively without thought, sakayaditi, self-delusion, and the 3 evils. Then seeing things as the meaning of what is. Then what is vigilant or awareness, which is a non-discipline or focused attention. So all these are very beautiful. Then training of the mind to be heedful, space within thought. We covered actually a lot of topics, understanding the content of consciousness. That's why Song found it very interesting and very important. He has been reading this for many, many times. And he brought them along. He made it a point to bring them to retreat and all those places. This appendix 3 is very long, very long. And finally accumulating into wisdom, understanding fully and completely. Okay, so we still got quite a number of pages to go. He only finished at page 237. So another 22 pages to go. Okay, yes, well, you can speak now.
其实我是没有什么要学，只是我之前觉得啊，像 MCO 这样子，就是我觉得我还很 OK， 可是我已经大概我已经超过一年没有回家了，
哇，
然后我就渐渐开始觉得很不 OK，
哦，
因为我对我的家的 Tejuma 还是在那边嘛，所以就会开始觉得，有点怎么讲，不会讲那种感觉。
挂碍，挂碍。
对，那因为刚开始你会觉得啊，好像没有怎么样，可是时间一久了，你就会觉得说，那种 attachment 哦，就会越来越清楚了。
因为你跟你的 parent and brother sister 的感情很好。So 那个真的 will let you have that feeling that I won't call it emotion 那种情绪啊it's very different on because it's like you miss them but it's not that type of attachment that can lead to suffering one no it's not that type 你的不是一个制作来的，它是一种感情培养了啊。then 你相恋呀、yeah, ，but 会怎样、你也能够接受。有 condition let it be， 没有 condition 也 let it be。
不过、第一次真的觉得哇，原来离家这么远。很
你不是第一次吗？你还
没有？以前不觉得
呀，
然后现在很强烈觉得
呀，因为年纪大了，
对对，
好像我女儿讲，年纪大了，要回来陪陪父母亲。
对呀、啊。
对呀、
可是现在这样子，你只能接受嘛，因为你不接受也不能怎么样。
对，那个就是智慧，佛法的。
不过还是有一点难过了。
没事的嘛，平常啊，那个是父母的孝顺啊，叫了白底啊，孝顺。
没有没有，我其实我就会开始回想，因为如果我是跟我父母反过来的话，我的孩子是这样，我是不是同样，所以我一直在问我妈妈说，哎，你当初为什么会愿意让我嫁来这边？你不会舍不得吗？
这么远啊，
对，然后不过我的父母都还蛮开通，所以。
对，
他也让我很自由，所以，
Very blessed.
我就觉得还好了。
因为你很幸运，有这样的父母亲，因为前世因你也对待你孩子不错啊，蛮不错，
所以同时我也会告诉我自己，我也必须对我的孩子这样子，让他没有挂碍，然后，
对，
这样子才是。应该是这样讲，我的父母做了一个很好的榜样，所以我可以学习他们。所以我觉得说很多，尤其是年纪越大，你会觉得哦，冥冥之中这些安排，其实你都很感谢。然后你就会觉得说，你只能够说。做好事，不要去担心那么多事，
对，
这样子才是对你跟对大家都是最好
对他们最好就是你平平安安，成长，那他们会为你开心，
对，我觉得其实父母要的就是这样子而已。
很 simple，父母的爱是很。Very pure and very sincere, and they are very easily contented. If they see you having good life, grow up in a good environment, successful, they really have a lot of joy, and
是啊，
they also wish you well-being and happiness and good health. And so.
所以，其实我觉得这段 MCO 虽然不能出国、不能旅行，很多事情好像绑手绑脚，可是我觉得好像有更多时间你可以跟自己在一起，然后有比较多时间，其实可以反省你自己。
对，so that 你可以 spend more time with your family members，你的孩子，
对。
你的丈夫。Then 现在 communication is so easy，打一个电话也很容易啊。
是啊，比以前好太多了。其实
好
现
开
在，
心啊！也看得到 video phone call，
对啊，不像我们以前，
以前
二十年前，
不到，
哇，
看不到啊，现
对，
在听得到，闻得到，又看得到，蛮不错，
所以我觉得，像我这半年来，我的工作也好，我的心情也好，什么的话，我觉得其实都是好像没有以前那样子的高高低低起伏，可是却很让我沉浸在这种
对，因为有了智慧嘛，佛法不一样，
还是会很不一样的哈、
很不一样，佛法真的很不一样，
哦。是，这要感谢宝的丢。
也要感谢我们自己的 good karma 前世因。
老实说啊，我以前啊，噶亚那米达每次的聚会啊，我其实都，我几乎没有参加。这个是，
不
这
过
个是，
能够参加了吗？
不过这次我却很兴奋，想要参加，
哇，好啊，做三
因
四
为。
年
因为那种感觉，虽然大家已经差不多半年没见面了，
哦、
但是，
对呀、啊，
对不对？
对
哦，
对对对，
可是却那种，可是一起上，因为以前都会见到面一起上课，那就会觉得说，好不容易可以相聚了，所以就很兴奋，一定要去。
对对对，不错啊，下个月就是了。
是哦，是哦，因为每次 Brother Dio 的生日聚会，常跟我爸爸生日是
一模一样
同一个时间嘛，所以每次我十月都会回去台湾。
哦，那边今年是 meant to be 啊，
今年不能回去。
啊，哦，好啊，好啊，欢迎欢迎。
所以我很期待。
是了是了，很好很好。
我相信大家都跟我一样。
对对对，
因为大家都半年没见面了，几乎。
对对对对对对。很多黑人米大爷有时候偷偷跑来找我吃饭。
啊，是啊是啊。
找我他们 discussion 聊天，好啊，沙丢，
谢谢
So let us rejoin. You go back to Pocheng, Pocheng.
How?
You were
yes,
there.
Yes, I was talking with Bogaya. I went there for like 5 days, 4 nights, and then on the I think probably second, third night, this chanting came out by itself, you know, as I woke up. Yeah, it just came out by itself. It just awareness and the chanting, but nobody is chanting. I said, who is chanting, you know? Yeah, so who is chanting? It was so, at the time, I do not know what is happening. I just said, it's amazing, but I'm not chanting, but the chanting was so beautiful. Yeah. It's the beautiful chanting of the Bogaya. That's how they chant it, and it was so beautiful. In my mind, it's a mental phenomena, you know.
Yeah.
Now I know it's mental phenomena. Yeah. Before that, I do not know what is that. then I talked to my Dharma sister. Then she said, you must be, how you call that? They said you think so, you love it so much, therefore it comes out in your mind, you know. That's what they say lah.
Because
I like the chanting so much, therefore the chanting come to me,
past,
you know.
Your past life affinity with that chanting.
Yes. So it just come out. So it was like as I do my morning wake up, right? I go to the toilet, but the chanting continue non-stop,
definitely.
You know.
Yes, non-stop.
Non-stop one, no. It will stop when it wants to stop, you know.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
So, but at that time, Brother Teo, I do not know what it was, you know. I just know that it's beautiful. That's okay. It. But now I know it's a mental phenomena. Because you share it just now, then I realized, that's exactly what I experienced,
what
you know.
To you,
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's amazing, now I.
The mind of cultivator is very interesting, very amazing.
Anything can happen, like it's so amazing there's nobody chanting, you know.
Yeah, and that one, the nature realize it, understand, really, nobody in Taiwan.
Yes. It's so funny, but still.
It's not a being, it cannot come up.
Yes.
Nothing, no word, no entity, the unconditioned. That's why the realization is very profound.
So I find so much joy when Veratio say that, that's what I experienced, you know.
Oh,
and Veratio, it was just not one night, one morning, it's like two morning, happening again, you know, and again, you know.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. So this Bogaya is very special to me, I guess,
In fact, last time, I think it also happened to Alicia many times, but not a Bogaya, I think it's different chanting. Then I think for Anne also same, there was one trip to India. Wow, that chanting non-stop follow her, is it? When she landed until she take off, the chanting just come. And she was so amazed, so beautiful. And then when they supposed to I think they went with Ajahn Ajahn Lo. Then when Ajahn Ajahn Lo asked them to like one by one go up and go and wash the dead body, cremation of the dead body or whatnot, then Ajahn Lo, I think out of good concern, I think want to help the Kabita. He tell them, if you have fear, you budo 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 budo. Then you know what happened to her. Nah? She said, I got time to budo. That chanting is so peaceful and so beautiful. It's just aware of the chanting. And it was so beautiful. And when she came back, she shared with me. She said, wow, really amazing. Oh, and a lot of those things can happen. And for her trip, very strange. Huh? She's not supposed to go on. Then she didn't even know what that place, Bugaya, was. It was the enlightenment place of the Buddha when he was underneath the Bodhi tree. That was the place, Bugaya. So what happened was, we were at our Sunday class at Wu Ping Ching Se. And suddenly, before that trip, somebody decided to do that type of chanting, I think, Dhamma Chakkappavattana and all those things. Then they brought that chanting book with the cover page, Bugaya, that Bugaya photo. Then she saw, she straight away came and asked me, hey, pretty, what is this? I said, this is Bugaya. He said, I saw it in my dream. He said, came to her. Then I say, if that's the case, are you going on a trip? He said he's still hesitating. I say, you better go, meant to be. That's why finally she went. A lot of strange things happen after that. That's why meant to be, condition will arise. Things will happen. And within the cultivator community, if you are true Dharma practitioner, cultivator, a lot of amazing things can happen. That's why the Dhamma is very, very amazing, very beautiful. Then even yourself, watching, you also experience, and many Kayamitas has to experience them. And they are really very beautiful. Sadhu, let us rejoice.
Sadhu. Yeah, Brad, there's one more other thing that happened there. On the last night I was there, right? So I look up on the Bogai, the Bohi tree, right? I saw so much bright lights on the tree, you know. Then I was thinking, hey, why is it like that, you know? But I also don't know what is that anyway. So it was like very bright. But every night I see it's just a dark tree, you know. But then on the night that I want to leave, after our offering of lights, right, far away from there, then we went back to the tree there and said goodbye, right? Then I see so many lights on the on the tree leaves, you know.
Possible. Possible.
You can see a lot of things that you experience, like I would say. Things that you never imagine it can happen.
It will manifest.
Yes.
Within your mind field. Because sometimes a lot of this has to do with the non-humans too. Nature's phenomena and all those things. Then sometimes they come as ops and lights. So a lot of these things can happen.
So interesting. Like we didn't want to leave the place, and then it showed us the lights. You know, it's like so beautiful. You know, the place is really, really very beautiful. It really touched your heart deeply.
You have great affinity with Bugaya. Sadhu to you.
Sadhu. Yes. Very good experience.
Thank you, Sadhu, for the good sharing.